This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
It's sci-fi and Squeam Gym, but not as we know it.
On Joy 94.9.
One station in all the world, a chosen station.
To boldly go where no show has gone before.
Sci-fi and Squeam.
Sci-fi and Squeam.
Tuesday night from 10 p.m.
On Joy 94.9.
Welcome to Sci-fi and Squeam. Sci-fi and Squeam tonight presents a talk with Tracy Edinwoodie from Supernatural, amongst so many other things. But here on Sci-Fi and Squeam, we love some of the Supernatural stuff that Tracy has done in the past. And she's here down under for an amazing weekend. It's All Hell Breaks Loose number 3.
Yes.
I didn't even know there was a 1 and a 2. But
right? Yeah. Yeah, they're at it again.
Three's a lucky number. Now, first one's in Sydney, where you are at the moment. It's tomorrow, the 26th of May. And then the next one here in beautifully sunny, Melbourne on the 27th. So welcome to the show.
Thanks so much, Tracy. Thanks for having me.
Cool. All right. Yeah. So when I look at your bio, and a lot of the fans, people that admire you, must go, where does this woman start and where does she stop? You're so prolific, but not just with performing and acting. There are so many things that you are involved in and are passionate about. Now, I know that you've appeared in Supernatural, and part of the reason that you're coming to Australia is because of that.
Mm-hmm.
Is it your first time here?
It is. Australia is my first. It's my first time experiencing your country. It's fabulous. Loving it so far.
What have you been doing so far?
Well, we took a stroll down by the harbour in Circular Quay.
Yeah.
And went and crashed some little party over by the Sydney Opera House.
Cool.
And oohed and aahed as we watched a pirate ship come rolling in. That was really fun. And
wow.
Yeah.
Not real pirates, I hope.
No, I doubt it at this point, but there's a nice rebel nature or essence to the town. I like it.
Yeah.
All the street performers around the harbor, around the quay. It's lovely. Got my groove on with a didgeridoo.
Cool.
Right near the water. So far, really nice. We've got a couple of fun things scheduled. We're going to do the bridge climb, of course, and check out a nature reserve today. So, yeah.
You're busy.
I know, back to back. I mean, your place has so many fun endeavors. Got to take it all. Take it all in.
Yeah. Crocodile wrestling? Anything?
Oh, well, I watched plenty of that on Virgin Airlines on the way here.
It's a really good way to promote the country. Yes, you can wrestle crocodiles.
Man, those things, they growl. They literally growl. That's fabulous. No, you won't see me wrestling a crocodile.
That's good.
Nope, nope.
We want you in one piece.
Thank you. Me too.
To come to Melbourne. So, yeah, like I said, looking at your awesome bio, your CV, we've got to talk about the obvious, which is Supernatural.
Sure, sure.
And basic question is, for our listeners, is playing Pamela Barnes in season 4, and I believe it was just one episode in season 5, is that correct?
Let's see.
I got that right.
4, 5, and was I in 6? Gosh, I can't even remember. It's so bizarre.
It's a nasty noise.
Yeah, 4, there were 2. Mm. Did you hear a noise?
Yeah, I heard something. It's probably just Melbourne.
So you start talking about Supernatural.
I know.
I think 4, 5, and possibly, no, or maybe 2 and 4 and 2 and 5, maybe 1 and 6. I can't remember. Yeah.
You'll have fans correcting you, I no doubt. They will know exactly.
I bet I will.
You'll
just sit there
and go, yes,
I agree. Down to a T, they know this stuff. It's amazing.
They do. How does it make you feel to be, the obvious question is, how does it make you feel to be known, especially for a show like that?
I love it. The Supernatural fandom is incomparable. They've got such amazing loyalty and interest and passion for the story that's told through Supernatural. I think they're really attracted to, one, the gorgeous essence of the two brothers.
Oh, yes.
But also there's a sense of family, and there's a connection, and, you know, with Bobby's character and all the folks they string along and weave into the story, that there's always this hilarity as well as a poignant message about family and loneliness and curiosity about the purpose of life and what it means to be in this world and what it means to lose a life and, you know, what's in the hereafter. Is there a hereafter? All the mythology that's explored. It's so vast that...
It is massive.
Yeah, that it attracts many kinds, a myriad dynamic range of people to this fandom in particular.
Yeah. Well, you've got, when you look at some of the things that has been written by original creator, Eric Kripke.
Yeah.
And you just look at some of the people that were involved in it, you know, Mick G, the late and amazing Kim Manners, and Robert Singer.
Yeah. Sarah Gamble, can't forget
Sarah
her.
Gamble,
the power of the female, Sarah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
How amazing is it to have a woman writer doing stuff like this?
Because incredible to have her in that room, and not only that, but helming it for quite some time. You know, she was one of the front running, you know, writers and producers, and she, for a woman to step up to the plate, especially in this genre, is fantastic. It's really powerful.
Because the premise of the whole show is about two brothers, let's face it. It comes from a very masculine, male, patronizing aspect. But then you've got that essence where I feel that they really just want to find out why, you know... It's quite a there's some moving storylines in there, particularly to do with grief, like you were mentioning before, and the loss of a mother and why, and these things that happen to them when they are, you know, in relationships with the opposite sex.
Yeah,
let's face it, they are fairly hetero.
They are struggling with the lack of feminine guidance and comfort, you know, consistently in their lives, and I think. We have such a broad and thick female following with this, and we as women witness these fellas in this man's world kind of fall apart and tumble over and over again for the lack of female guidance and energy. It's really interesting. Yeah,
it is interesting. You just want to comfort them.
Mm-hmm.
Some fans want to comfort them in one way, others...
And sometimes want to slap them silly.
Yeah, you do. You go, oh, you're such a dick.
I know, exactly. Exactly. You said it.
Okay, so I know one of these burning questions some of our listeners will have is, what is it like to be in the presence of two spunky goons like... Let's face it. Did they play pranks on you like they do Jared Padalecki and Sam Winchester? Sam Winchester and Jensen Eccleston.
Yeah, they're definitely jokesters. Mm. It's funny because when I first came on to the show, I was warned that they were tricksters and they'd play some pranks on me, and so much so that I became paranoid. And one evening when I came back to my room, I noticed like the trash bin was on top of the commode, and the radio was at a staticky point in the station, and the lights were on, and it was like, did someone actually come into my room and freak me out? Because it was just eerie. And I really thought the guys had put somebody up to doing this, but found out later that it was just the maid, and she hadn't turned down my room properly. But yeah, they never really got me hardcore, knock on wood, as I knock on wood right now. Have not pranked the dickens out of me yet.
Sounds like they do have a load of fun.
They do. They're so fun. They're very fun-loving guys and really good-hearted.
Cool.
Yeah.
So you're traveling with some of your compatriots, I believe, or
I
hell
am.
Breaks loose. You've got Wow, it's marvellous. You've got Richard Spate.
Richard Spate, Jr.
Jr., can't remember.
Jim Beavers along.
Yeah,
Corin just came on last minute, I guess.
That's cool.
Yeah. So I'm back with the boys.
Yeah.
Love them. They're fun.
And,
they're
of course,
and
a person.
Misha.
Oh, yeah, that guy. Yeah. I was trying to think of his name the other day.
That guy, that angel kind of dude.
That Castiel person.
Yeah.
Now, he does a lot of great works outside of his role, as he's known as Castiel, in Supernatural. But you do too. Like, you're involved in some amazing stuff too, I know. Can you tell us a bit about your other life? Outside of being an actress, I guess, or an actor.
Sure.
What you do.
Well, so many things, obviously.
Yeah.
I have a broad curiosity. I love anything that entails physical movement and especially some form of dance. So I've taken on trapeze of late, and and I'm, you know, constantly looking for ways in which I can use my interests to inspire the fans who have been so loyal to me and so interested in my work as a just as a human being as well as an artist. And so I've created with their help, certainly not on my own, but I've created a beautiful cyber community called My Tea Bugs, and we often engage in so many things. There's a lot of LGBT awareness that's promoted on my page, which I like a lot. I think it's especially the time is just ripe.
Perfect,
for
isn't
it. And animal rescue to fundraising for future film projects as well as web series that I'm working on. I just, if I can, to the best of my ability, I want to create beautiful, magical, meaningful stories. I like to help in any way I can. It helps me feel like I've got some purpose and something that's beyond just, an ego-pumping...
you don't come across as that.
Film work.
I don't think.
Yeah, well, I mean, everybody's got an ego. I want to look good and feel good, you know?
Mm.
But I also realize that I can't do any of this by myself, and I do my damnedest to have some humility and ask for help as best I can and see what we can learn together. May I be teachable? May I learn something from everyone? And really, like in the big picture, every time I do that and I just surrender what I think I'm supposed to look like as a working actress and just allow myself to be a human being sharing some tidbits of my experience as an artist and a person, I find that my life is enriched with amazing people from all over the world who post beautiful stories and some of their heart's prayers and some of their misgivings, their failings, their successes, and it's become a phenomenon. You know, just I've ended up, due to social media and what I've shared, I've been able to actually officiate a wedding between two beautiful women in New York City, and that has been a dream of mine for
years.
When
was that? Was that?
That was last year.
Fantastic.
Yeah, I got to marry Mrs. and Mrs. Crespin in the Shakespeare Park. Yeah, in New York City once it became legal.
Yeah. Well, it must be almost a year, is it?
Yeah.
Getting close to a year now.
Yeah, definitely.
And it's
definitely
still there. It hasn't been overturned or
shoved
aside. It shows you the strength and the purpose of people, particularly Americans. I'm always amazed at the strength, resilience, and the power that you have. And it inspires us down here because we have our issues.
Right. Well, you've got civil union, right? But there's some concern.
No,
because
not even.
Conservative has just taken place and it may pull back. Is that the case?
Well, they haven't got full civil unions even yet.
Oh, you don't have full civil?
No.
Okay.
It's patchy because, a bit like you, we have different states and
a federal
system, which makes it really tough.
Oh, it's gnarly. I know. I know. I cannot believe that California does not have the same-sex marriage. It blows my mind.
It is bizarre with Hollywood there. It's really odd, isn't it?
I mean, we have civil coverage, and even under, you know, Screen Actors Guild insurance, there is availability for same-sex partnership, so that, you know, your partner is covered in dire needs and what have you, but it's like we have miles and miles to go. And
yeah.
So you're not in Australia, there isn't a full civil union recognition.
Not yet. It's not enough,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it's going to take time to actually get most of the population here. Totally. Ooh, I can hear the aliens coming.
I can hear them too.
They're landing on the roof as we speak. All the ghosts are coming through the wall. But yeah, look, it's got a ways to go. And
yeah.
Unfortunately, we do have some very conservative religious establishments here that are doing their darndest to pollute the minds and of young people. And it's pretty seriously wrong.
It's so bizarre because some of the, you know, some religious groups are actually encouraging open-mindedness and acceptance. I mean, I think even in the Bible it says, judge not that ye be not judged. That's Matthew 7:1. I mean, I was brought up a Christian. I was a Southern Baptist, for goodness sakes. And it depends on the circles and the specific communities. I don't believe all religions are doing this, but I do believe that there are groups and really fear-based, very rigid structures, you know, that
they're
holding
afraid.
On to that.
Yeah, paranoia and
fear.
Yeah,
so afraid. Do you wonder, like, are people just afraid of sex? Because, like, when you think about it, what are they really thinking of when they consider this? Because if you really think about love, and you think about the spiritual principle of love and how that entails kindness and patience and compassion and forgiveness and prudence and perseverance and all of those things, willingness and honesty, how could you ever, ever, ever think anybody shouldn't have love? And but then when you think of same sex, you think of sex. For some reason.
Well, sex is in the title.
Yes, exactly. It's in the title.
It's in the title, and I think that immediately makes people think, oh, I can't handle the fact, because they can't handle the fact that people of the same gender or, you know,
right,
all sorts of genders, we have so many different parts of that rainbow, you know, all inclusive. They just don't get it. And you have to show people that we're the same.
Yes.
Just focus on the word the same, and don't worry so much about sex. It's there. We all come from it. Get over it.
Yeah, I wonder, or either that or just talk about it and get over it. Sex. We all, you know, well, maybe not all of us, but it's part of the world. It's part of what makes us here, and it's also a pleasurable, beautiful way of connecting, and it comes in myriad forms, you know, and just not to be so caught up in the fear of what that would look like for people.
Mm. And what a book, one book can say about how you judge others, and that's just not on. Beautiful. Well, Tracy, I don't want to hold you up too long because I've got Mr. Beaver coming on next.
Ah, Mr. Beaver. Give him a big swack for me.
Swack. Swack, did you say? Or
swack. Feel it with a kiss.
I was thinking of Batman, you know.
Oh.
Batman and Catwoman.
Sock him with a kiss.
Sock, fwack, kapow. I love those. It's such camp.
I love those too, yeah.
Beautiful TV series. Look, Tracy, thank you so much for talking to us on Sci-Fi and Squeam.
Absolutely. Such a pleasure. Say hi to my tea bugs.
Yeah.
And thanks, everybody, for listening. You guys rock. Rock, rock, rock.
Now, you're going to be, it's part of Hub Productions. It's All Hell Breaks Loose, number 3. And it's coming to the ballroom at the Park Hyatt in Melbourne this Sunday. I'm saying that because I'm a Melburnian now. So
even though
I'm from New Zealand originally, I'll become
New
a Melburnian.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's even colder.
I ain't scared.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
And when you come to Melbourne, I hope you have a lovely time.
Thank you.
Don't forget your umbrella.
No worries. I'm not afraid of rain at all. I come from the East Coast. We love those things.
Are you from Alaska, aren't you, originally? Is that right?
Alaska originally. That's where I was born. But I did a lot of growing up in Charleston, South Carolina, and Wilmington, North Carolina. So
that's wet.
Summer storms, wet, lush, green. Yeah.
No, this is wet and gray and cold. Just
you know
to
what?
Warn you.
It's all right. I can dig it. That way I've got this full experience, and then I go back to sunny California.
Yay, beautiful. And you can tell everybody about beautiful Melbourne. with its Victorian, we've got lots of old Victorian buildings here, so.
Yeah, what's an absolute must see in Melbourne?
A must see would probably be hanging out St Kilda by the sea, definitely a must.
Uh-huh.
What else is a must? Definitely, well, coming to Joy. When you come upstairs at Joy, we've got a great view over the city. So maybe get some pictures of that. It'd be cool.
Oh, yeah. I'll do that when I go over for her society. How about that?
Yeah. Oh, they're looking forward to meeting you finally.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
Thanks,
Tracy. Right. Thanks for your
time. Take care. Thanks for your time, too. Bye-bye.
All right. Toodaloo.
Bye.
Hi, this is Tracy Dinwiddie. You're listening to Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy 94.9.
Geek. The only way to be on Sci-Fi and Squeam. Joy 94.9.
Welcome to Sci-Fi and Squeam. On the line here, all the way from the US in Sydney, for something called All Hell Breaks Loose Number 3 this weekend in Australia is Jim Beaver. Welcome to the show.
Hey, it's great to be here.
Now, you're in Sydney right now, but you will be in Melbourne for the Hub Productions event. It's going to be massive. I believe the ticket sales have gone out the window.
That's what they tell me.
Let's hope so. So it's very cool of you coming all the way down under. Is this your first trip to Aussie?
No, this is is actually my second. I was here a couple of years ago for a similar event. And tried to get here 40-something years ago when I was in Vietnam. Wanted to come here on R&R, but some colonel decided he wanted to go, and he got my seat. So
damn it.
So it took me a while to make up for that.
You rank higher now, I think, than him. Definitely, in our eyes anyway, because of Supernatural, something called Supernatural, that TV series, and our listeners love it. But you've gone from this character called Bobby Singer, for those who don't know, from what I believe you thought would be quite a tiny, you know, not such a big role, to something that's become incredibly huge and significant, and, you know, the following of your character and now of yourself is pretty amazing.
It is. It's you know, my friends were puzzled at first that I got a part this good, and they were doubly puzzled that people around the world seem to like me doing it. But then my friends are not very supportive.
Oh, aren't they? You need those sort of people.
Yeah,
sort of.
Yeah, well,
you know what I mean?
They keep you honest, you know.
Yeah, keep you humble, and they put you in your place.
Yeah. But it really has been kind of miraculous. People ask me a lot if I enjoy doing the conventions, if I enjoy the attention, and I always say I did this for 30-something years before anybody cared. And it's only in the last 7 years or so that I've realized that there are an awful lot of people who follow what I do and watch the show and enjoy me on it. So that's, you know, it's a great thing to get that kind of encouragement after years of kind of laboring in obscurity. Not total obscurity, but there's something about Supernatural and its audience that is unlike any other show I've ever been part of. And we're really blessed on this show because we get a lot of face-to-face contact with the people who watch the show, and we get a lot of direct response, and people are very vocal about how much they love the show, and I'm really, really grateful for that.
It's enormous. I mean, how many seasons now is it?
Well, we've just finished our seventh.
Seventh. Brilliant. And it seemed to me that it was something that maybe after one or two seasons, they weren't considering it to be such a massive hit that it's become. But I think it's because it has, in the writing, and you've got the creators of it, people who are amazing, you know, Eric Kripke and Sarah Gamble, of course, and other people that have been involved with it, the late wonderful Kim Manners, and there's some amazing writing that, how many times can I say amazing, sorry, but yeah, just the strength of that and the storylines, let alone the actors, the people that take these characters, and how much of your own self is in Bobby?
Well, a lot of Bobby that you see now was there, I think, pretty much in the script the first time I was handed a script for the show. His sort of gruff but kind persona, his slightly sarcastic and dry humor, they were all there in the script. A lot of that is like me, but I think it's not so much that the character has become like me as it is that they saw the similarity between me and the character and thought that I would be a good fit for the part.
Right.
I had worked for Bob Singer years before. Bob Singer's one of our executive producers. And he did not name the character after himself. That was a trick the writers pulled on
him.
Oh, okay.
I did wonder about that.
Yeah, he gets a lot of flack for that, but it's not his doing. I had worked for him years before on another show called Reasonable Doubts.
Okay.
And I think when this character came up, he said, well, I know a guy who's kind of like this.
Mm.
That's not to say that I'm as brave or as smart or as noble as Bobby, but I'm... you know, we talk a lot alike.
Yeah. Oh, brilliant. And what a career. Like, seriously, like you said, 30-something years before you got to this, this attention.
Yeah.
Prior to that, your background has been writing. So you've come from that creative angle of structuring, of making stories, to having now other people playing, you know, you're playing their stories.
Well, it's a lot easier that way.
Is it?
Yeah, it's. I'm one of those writers who always enjoyed having written, but didn't always enjoy the actual process of doing it.
Oh yeah.
And because it's hard work, and I work hard as an actor, but it's not anywhere near the same level of breaking sweat. Put it that way.
Yeah.
I have a great deal of admiration for the writers on our series or any TV series, because that's a mind-bending grind to put out 22, 23, 24 episodes a year.
That's massive.
I've written for television and it's exhausting. Whereas, even at the end of a very long day of filming as an actor, I'm always reluctant to go home. It takes a lot of energy, but it's a lot more fun.
Yeah, it sounds like you guys do. I mean, those Winchester boys, sorry, I should say Jared and your co, look how it happens. The characters become part of, you know, the way you think about the actual actors, which isn't really fair on their performances. But Jensen Ackles, of course, and Jared Padalecki, who you work with. I was talking to Tracy just before, and she said she had some paranoid experiences with the guys simply because they love to play pranks.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's screes of pranks, I take it.
I don't think there are as many pranks as the fans sometimes like to think there are, because
really? Probably
there's no question it gets asked more often than
what was
your favorite prank, or and there aren't that really many to choose from, but you know, the few there are fairly choice. But you know, Jared and Jensen are a very interesting combination. They're both really dedicated actors, and at the same time they're kind of like puppies bouncing around the set, particularly Jared.
That's a big puppy.
Yeah, he's a big puppy. Very big puppy. He's just, they're both really, really full of fun and energy, and I vaguely remember what it was like to have energy.
Right, yeah, because of these late nights, very early mornings, all sort of blur when you're having to sit around a set, and that's tough.
And, you know, the fact is that part of our set is so much fun, and the general rule in television is that the attitude on the set largely comes down from the lead actors.
Okay.
And considering that there's really not a harder job in acting than being the lead on an hour drama, because it's so time-consuming, and, you rarely have any time to yourself. It's pretty amazing that you've got two guys who, 7 years in, are just as much fun, just as much, have just as much energy
and pizzazz
as Jared and Jensen do. It could be a very, very, very different set with different actors in the leads, and I'm really grateful that we've got these two guys, because they make it fun to go to work.
Yeah, you want that. You want your leaders, I guess. They're like a team leading, sort of charging forth and giving you that energy, and it makes you want to go into work.
Absolutely.
Any workplace that has that is worth doing, I think, worth getting involved.
I've been real lucky. I've had a lot of TV series experience, and it's almost without exception been a good experience, and it's almost without exception been because whoever was the lead was a great guy or great gal. And the very few times I've had negative experiences, it's been because the person at the top was not so great to be around.
No,
but those are few. Those are very, very few and far between.
Yeah, there's the precious ego syndrome, I reckon, and you certainly don't fall under that. Look, I don't want to keep you too much longer, but I am curious about something that you were involved with. Obviously, it's a passion of yours, and that is some of the writing that you've done, and the contribution through historical elements, actually. Now, you wrote something about George Reeves, of course, who played Superman back in the day, way back in the, 50s, and for the Superman TV series that used to be around back then, and his mysterious passing.
Yeah,
that's something I found really interesting when I was looking you up on the net.
Well, I'm. You say I wrote. The fact is, I'm still writing.
You're still writing.
Been working on this for, I don't know, 150 years. It seems like. In fact, when I started it, I had no idea that I was going to have a TV career of my own that would impede the work I was doing writing.
Okay.
I'm still still plowing away on that.
Yeah.
I got into acting because I was in love with film history, and so I'm like I say, writing's awfully hard, and I don't do it except under duress, but it's awfully rewarding to have done some, and but it's a lot more fun to act.
Cool. All right. So, any plans when you're? Are you planning to turn that into a film or a series?
Oh no, I don't think so. No. You know, I was asked years ago if I thought there was a movie in the George Reeves story, and I said no, I don't think there is, which is a kind of crazy thing for a writer to say. But and then someone ignored me and went ahead and made a movie, and I was fortunate enough to get to be the technical advisor on it, but I was surprised because they made a really good movie, and I didn't expect it.
Yeah, Hollywoodland. I really, I don't know if enjoy is the right word, but it really was intriguing and not the normal Hollywood fodder about such a type of real life drama. It was very interesting.
Yeah,
and you were a consultant on that, so. Yeah, brilliant.
Well, if I were really brilliant, I'd have said, yeah, there's a great movie in it, and can buy the rights to my book. But I didn't do that.
Next time.
Yeah.
Maybe, yeah. Cool. All right, Jim, it's been great talking to you. I know that you're chomping at the bit to get out and see some of sunny Sydney. I will let you know that Melbourne is miserable and wet and cold.
Well, okay. You know, We shoot Supernatural in Vancouver, so I know all about miserable, wet, and cold.
Yes, it's North Hollywood, they reckon, isn't it?
No.
What isn't filmed in Canada these days?
Yeah, yeah.
Cool. Thanks, Jim.
You bet.
Jim Beaver, that's great. Enjoy All Hell Breaks Loose. And when it does break loose, I hope you get to stake some and kill some and bag some of those devilish demons on the way in Sydney and in Melbourne coming up. Tomorrow, the 26th of May, and the 27th here in Melbourne at the Ballroom, through Hub Productions. Congratulations.
Thank you. It's a dirty job, but somebody's got to do it.
Wear gloves. I've seen you wearing gloves. Are you going to wear the hat?
I always wear the hat.
You have to, I guess.
Yeah. I figure, you know.
Do people recognize you without the hat? Less or
some,
about the same?
Some. Whenever I do these kinds of events, I figure people are more interested in seeing me the way they know me than to show up all changed or when I'm doing personal appearances and things, I usually try to keep at least a variation on Bobby's hat on my head.
Great. All right. Love your work. Thanks so much for talking to us here on Sci-Fi and Squeam, Jim Beaver.
Thank you.
Cheers. Have a good one.
Thanks.
All the best. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye. Hi, this is Jim Beaver. I play Bobby Singer on the TV series Supernatural. You're listening to Sci-Fi and Squeam on 94.9 Joy FM.
Hi.
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 Sci-Fi and Squeam.
Sci-Fi and Squeam.
Sci-Fi and Squeam.
Sci-Fi and Squeam.
From 10 p.m.
till 11 p.m. on
Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9. Join us.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.